All right, thank you, choir, for starting us out. Oh, Andrew, can you turn this back just a tad? 488. I'll stand way back. 488. Take your hymnals. Let's stand and sing A New Name in Glory. We'll sing all three stanzas. 488. Sing out this evening now. I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name, great now in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name, great now in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name, great now in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name, great now in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to come. In the book that's written, say by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name, with now in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, evermore to roam.
All right, welcome back to church tonight, Anchor Baptist Church. Good to see everybody here. It's mostly just home folk tonight, but we do have Brother Terrell, a good wife, here with us tonight. Brother Terrell will be preaching in a little bit. And good to see you, Brother and Sister Rose, good friends for many long years, and he's got much to tell us, I'm sure, and I'm looking forward to that. And so good to see everybody. Pastor spoke with him a little bit earlier this afternoon. He said the temperature got up to, did he say, 62 or 72 maybe, and the sun's shining. So now he's in a nice place and up there in Michigan and had a good service this morning and good liberty to preach. And we told him, well, we had a good one here this morning. So he was excited about that. So good to see everybody back tonight. And let's open with a word of prayer and that God will bless the service tonight. Brother Tim, why don't you come over here and lead us in a word of the Lord, would you?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have again to be in your house this evening. We thank you for being with us, meeting with us this morning. We ask your blessing now on the choirs they sing, the congregational singing, and then Brother Terrell as he brings the message tonight. Bless our pastor as he speaks as well tonight there in Michigan. We ask your blessing on everything that's said and done tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Thank you.
thank you again, choir, and I hope that's your testimony tonight as well. Well, we don't really have any visitors except the speaker and his wife tonight. Let's stand, and we'll have a little time of handshake and fellowship tonight while the choir comes down.
It's so good to see again everybody tonight. If we had a nickname here at the church, it'd be Fellowship Baptist Church, wouldn't it? I love the fellowship of the folk here at the church. And don't you just love walking around, talking to each other, and shaking hands and hugging necks and saying good things about the Lord? And I tell you, God is good, isn't He? He's sure all the time. He sure is good. All right. Well, by way of prayer request tonight, you heard the prayer request this morning. While Brother Terrell is here, you might say something about your dad a little bit later, if you will. We love Brother Jimmy and wish you would do that. Do pray for the pastor. He'll be preaching in a little bit, I'm sure, up there in Michigan. He said they had this morning up there about 275 in the service up there in Michigan. And so he preached to a lot of people, didn't he? And so that's a good thing, and we appreciate that. And I said, well, we had a good crowd here too, Pastor, and we did. And praise the Lord for that. And so good to be back. Other prayer requests, Ms. Shirley Hughes. I spoke to Brother Richard yesterday, and I asked him if I could come by for just a real short visit. And he said, oh, Brother Steve, it's probably not a good idea to come. And so it just kind of broke my heart. But he told me Ms. Shirley is not wanting to eat too much right now. And so they're trying to encourage her to get some nourishment in. And so, y'all pray for Miss Shirley when you pray. I'd really appreciate that. And the other prayer request, you know about all them things. So pray one for another. And I know you do, and I know you will. And we appreciate that so very much. All right, Brian, you got anything you want to say?
Let me just remind you real quick. Wednesday night service is 7:00. I hope you'll be here. Make your way back for that. Waterford service at 7:00 on Thursday, and then sewing Saturday at 10:00 in the morning here at the church. We'll meet, and that's for the men, of course, to go out and knock on doors. Then let me remind you again. I mentioned it this morning, but we're planning on Sunday, November 4th, being our Pastor Appreciation Sunday. So you'll be getting more details in the days to come about that. But you can plan to make sure you're here and invite others to that Sunday starting right now. So just keep that, circle that down in your calendar. We got a lot of important dates coming up. You know, once the fall gets in full swing and then into Christmas, we're kind of almost nonstop around here. But it's a joy to be busy and serving the Lord. So that's what we're going to do from now until the start of the year. And I hope you'll get involved in as much as possible.
All right, take your hymnals once again. 183 tonight. 183, let's stand. Sing first and last stanzas of Come and Dine. 183. Like you've got it. Let's sing together.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take His bride, to be ever at His side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble thee. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Good singing tonight. You can be seated.
All right. And ushers, if y'all come on up here, we'll get the offering tonight. And we'll take up a love offering for Brother Terrell after the service tonight. And we appreciate that. I meant to say we need to remember Bobby Alexander in prayer. She was not feeling good this morning in Sunday school. And she went home and she sent me an email earlier this afternoon saying, Brother Steve, I just don't feel good. And so I want you to pray for Miss Bobby. Sister Judy Branham is still not feeling well with a leg issue, but she brought Brother Sonny tonight. And Brother Sonny, it's so good to see you tonight, brother. And so y'all pray for Miss Judy. And there might be somebody else I'm forgetting, but those two in particular, Miss Ramona is not feeling too well this afternoon either. So pray for her when you pray, okay? All right, let's pray for the tithe and offering tonight. And if you didn't have that give this morning, and you've got that opportunity tonight, and we appreciate that. Brother Gardner, why don't you pray this prayer? Amen.
To the front. I don't know who's in the RV either, but maybe we have some guests coming. So let's pay attention up here. We right before before Brother Steve introduces our speaker tonight, we have Bethany and Brittany coming to sing for us.
Onesimus, I ran away.
Yesterday, I was driving home from Greenville and stopped off at my favorite restaurant in Fountain Inn. Anybody know what that restaurant is? Yeah, Bojangles. And I was there and eating a biscuit and trying to give out some tracts. By the way, if you've got tract counts to give Miss Brenda, give her that tonight before you leave if you haven't already today. So I'm, you know, eating biscuit and giving out some tracts. And there was this guy sitting in there. Now, just staring at me, and I was staring back at him because I thought I knew that guy. I wasn't real sure. So after, you know, I'm giving out tracts, and so I walked up his head, give him a tract, and I said, "Don't I know you?" He said, "Don't I know you?" I said, "Well, I think maybe." So anyway, we made a connection, and you know who he wanted to ask about? Bethany. And so he knows Bethany from somehow or another in the past, up at Tabernacle days. And so, he thought she was my daughter. And I said, "No, that's my son's wife. She's my daughter-in-law." And he said, "Well, that's okay." Okay. But anyway, good job, lady, singing that song, and Brittany too. I pray for Jerry Peacock, our contractor. I did get to speak to him this afternoon. The bleeding, the problem seems to have stopped. Whatever it was. And he thinks he's going to get to go home tomorrow. Okay, so y'all pray for Jerry Peacock. We were expecting an RV to show up, by the way, so that's nothing by surprise. So maybe they can get things worked out there on that. All right, Brother Terrell, you come on up here. Brother Terrell Rose, he's got his wife with him. Say something about you, your wife, your family, Brother Jimmy, and your ministry. And Brother Terrell, preach to us.
Amen.
God bless you,
brother. Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Amen. How many are glad to be here? Say amen. Amen. What a joy and privilege it is to be here tonight. It's good to have my wife always with me. And I don't know if you know this. I know we look very young, but my son is married, and I am a grandfather now. Can you believe that? And proud of it, too. I spoil that boy to death. I tell you that. That's what grandfathers are for. Amen. And there, my son, when we came home last year, he came with us, and for about a year and 3 months, worked on his wife's green card and his son's green card. And after a year and 3 months, his wife and my grandson came back from Brazil after being a year and 3 months separated, and we reunited again. So I have to make up for a year and 3 months of spoiling my grandson. But it is a joy to be here, and I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness in supporting us for so many years, and we're so grateful for that. Many years ago, well, some years ago, when Dad was healthy, I told both of them, I said, Dad, if you ever come to the point that you need me, you let me know, and I'll come off the field. And if you don't need me, I'm going to stay on the field. And so about 2 years ago, because my brother was the only one here, and his wife had dementia, and she passed away about a month and a half ago. And my dad said, son, we need your help. So we prayed about it, and the Lord led us to come back home last year. And we began to pray for the Lord to direct us in what direction we should take because of taking care of my dad. I'll let you know in a few minutes how Dad is and Mother. But we came home and began to pray, Lord, lead us and guide us to what we should do. And so Dr. Aiken, which is now the TBMI, Tabernacle Baptist Missions International Director. One day I was in the hall there at Tabernacle, and I saw him, and he looked at me and said, Brother Terrell, can you come into my office? And I thought, oh no. I started thinking, what have I done? You know, when pastor says, can you come in my office, you automatically start thinking, did I do something wrong? And so Dr. Aiken called me, and he said, would you consider coming with Tabernacle Baptist Missions and being an assistant director to the mission? So we prayed about it, and God led us to go with Tabernacle Baptist Missions as assistant director. But I still say I'm a missionary in Brazil. That's the top of the line there, because that's where God, our heart is in Brazil. I'm only here because I have to take care of my parents, but our heart is there. And so what we are doing now is praying the Lord would open doors for us to go back to Brazil maybe 2-3 times a year, stay a month, and help in two churches that we're helping start. Brazilian missionaries that are doing the work, and we're just helping them at this moment. And so the Lord has opened the doors for that. Not only that, the Lord has opened many other doors for us. And this March, we were able to go to Mexico and preach a missions conference down there. And then in 17 days, and boy, we're counting the days and hours. In 17 days, me and my wife will be going back to Brazil and staying for almost a month there and preaching revivals and helping in the ministries there. Hope that you'll pray that God would use us there in Brazil. I have been praying. You know, our older men of God are getting feeble. We need a new generation of preachers to rise up. And I've been praying that the Lord would use me when I go back to Brazil. That someone could say, I'm willing to take Jimmy Rose's place and serve the Lord like he did and like he has for many years. That's our goal, my goal, that God would use us as we go to Brazil in just a few days. Pray for us that God will help us and guide us and lead us as we go down. And the only thing that really joys us is to be able to see our folks down in Brazil. And they're excited for us to come, and we can't wait to get there. And so that is what we're doing right now. And so, just for you to know, God has been blessing Tabernacle Baptist Missions. We have five new candidates for missionaries at Tabernacle Baptist Missions. And we just accepted. How many of you know Josh McBriar? You know Josh McBriar. And by the way, that's his favorite too, Bojangles. when you said Bojangles, I thought about Josh. And Josh, if you know about Josh, he's in a very dangerous area of the world preaching the gospel. And just yesterday, Tabernacle Baptist Missions interviewed through Skype a missionary in Mexico, a Mexican missionary there that has surrendered to go to the same place Josh is at. And so we're trying to get them both together. He has already been there where Josh is at. And Lord willing, we're praying that Josh will be able to come back. We'll be able to help him raise his support to go back to that area where Josh McBriar is. Then we have other missionaries that are candidates to our mission board. Pray that God would use us. We really, really want to be a blessing to our missionaries. And also, I would ask you to pray. Pastor Logan, our pastor, has a great burden for missions. And so he approached me a couple of weeks ago. And Lord willing, next year we will be having at Tabernacle Bible College a missions major for young men that are surrendering to missions and going to missions, and pray that God will continue to use the Bible College. It's going great. It's growing. We had 10 new students this year, and we're praying that God would give us 10 more students every year and help Tabernacle College grow. And about my dad, I hope that you'll pray for him. Dad is on hemodialysis now. He was on peritoneal dialysis, which peritoneal goes through the stomach, but it just drug him down so badly that they had to change over to hemodialysis. And while he was doing peritoneal dialysis, he came to the point he couldn't walk no more. And during this time, Dad has been taking phenobarbital for about 55 years, which helps him not to have seizures. And the peritoneal dialysis and the hemodialysis washes out that medicine. And so for the last 2 months, we have had a battle. One day about 3 weeks ago, he had three seizures, and just during the night. And just pray for my dad. He's in a rehab now. And unfortunately, he's not, we don't see any progression in his state. And so he is not walking. I hope that you'll pray for him. And my mother, she is on a walker, and she can hardly get around. She's having some serious problems with her back. And so just pray for my mother. We are trying our best to take good care of my dad and my mother. And my brother now is able to help me some. And so that is the reason we're able to go to Brazil and spend a month there. And my son also and his wife will be taking care while we're gone. So if you have any questions, please let us know. We'll be glad to answer. And if I can't answer, I am pretty sure my wife can. Amen. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And we're so grateful for your faithfulness. And it's not only your financial help, but it's your prayer. It's your prayer that keeps us going, serving our wonderful Lord. Amen. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. If you see some two little brown spots on my shirt, I don't usually dress that, okay? Right before we got here, we stopped and I was tempted with a little brownie. And, of course, if you're a man like me, you know that it's going to get on your shirt. And so when I came in, I saw two little spots here. So I tried to put my tie over. And then when I pulled my tie over here, I saw a little spot over here. And so I was trying to cover. And at that time, I missed those wide ties. You remember those real wide ties? If you see something, I'm normally not like that, okay? My wife does take very, very good care of me. And I'm grateful for her. Let's stand Mark chapter 14 and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Then after that, we'll have a word of prayer. And then after that, you may be seated. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? And he says this, she hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. And this is what he said, she hath done what she could. Well, wouldn't you like Jesus to say that about you? You know, you see my servant down there, Terrell Rose? He hath done what he could. Can you imagine? What a compliment. But he said not only that. He says, she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. But look what he said. Verily I say unto you, wherefore, wheresoever, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. I mean, she didn't even get a great compliment. She had done what she could. Jesus said, let me tell you something. Everywhere the gospel is preached, all over the world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Boy, wouldn't you like to be in her steps? Jesus saying that. You know, sometimes we get excited when somebody says, you know, that was a great message. But can you imagine Jesus coming and said, she hath done what she could. What a compliment. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the choir singing, the congregation, and what a blessing, the duet, one of my favorite songs. Boy, I'm so glad that you paid it all. Today I'm a sinner saved by grace. Lord, would you please help us tonight? Fill us with thy Spirit. Help us to be a blessing to this precious church that we love so much. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. In your precious and holy name we ask you. Amen. You may be seated. Robert Moffat. How many of you, raise your hand if you know who Robert Moffat is. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. One, two, three persons. If I say something, pronounce something in English wrong, please forgive me. My mind sometimes switches from Portuguese to English. But Robert Moffat was a missionary in Africa for 53 years. He came back one year to Scotland to recruit new missionaries to Africa. One night he traveled many miles to preach at a church, and as he entered the church, he was very disappointed because there were very few people in that church that night. But not only that, he was disappointed that as he looked around, there were only ladies in the church. And the Lord had put upon his heart to preach the verse Proverbs 8:4, unto you, O men, I call. Well, can you imagine that? Disappointed, he failed to notice a little boy close to the organist. But that night, Robert Moffat, led by the Lord, preached the message of Proverbs 8:4, unto you, O men, I call. And that little boy close to the organist
helping the organist in the invitation, he came to the altar and surrendered his life to go to Africa and serve the Lord the rest of his life there. And the name of that little boy is David Livingston. I would wonder if Robert Moffat had not done what God told him to do. Would there be a David Livingston? Would there be a great man of God that wrote the hymn, "Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me"? Oh, what a man of God. Why? Because one man, Robert Moffat, did what he could and what God wanted him to do. Have we done what God wants us to do? I watched a video of a tribe in Brazil, and this tribe is a very primitive tribe, and on this video was one Indian and one man translating, and the man on the video, the Indian, all he was saying is, "Would somebody please come and preach the gospel to us?" I ask you today, have you done what you can for God? You know, in Romans chapter 1:14, Paul said this, "I am a debtor." And I believe that we as Christians, oh, we owe a great debt to our God. We have so much that we can do for God. Are we doing what we can for Him? Can you imagine if I was a scientist and a doctor, and one day I came to the conclusion that I had gotten the formula of a medicine that would cure cancer. And I thought to myself, you know, I have the cure for cancer. But you know what I'm going to do? I believe I'll just save this cure for my family. If there's somebody in my family that has cancer, at least I'll have the cure for that cancer. And you would look at me and say, "Hey, Brother Terrell, I believe you're selfish. You have the cure for cancer and don't want to spread it." Brethren, let me tell you something. We have the cure for sin, and a lot of times we do not want to spread that cure. In this text, we see a lady who went to Jesus before His death. She did what she could for Him. But I want you to see tonight, she did what she could with what she had. You see, the Bible says she had an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke a box of ointment and poured it on the head of Jesus. This ointment, the Bible says, was valued at 300 pence. Pence was a daily wage of an average worker. Therefore, modern terms, we calculate it was worth about $15,000. This spikenard was produced from a rare plant that grew in India. It was very expensive. And many people saved up for years this type of ointment to provide for their own funeral preparations. However, this woman, whom we believe to be Mary, John 12, poured it out on the head of Jesus. She had what she could, and so she used it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary gave all she had for the glory of God. I wonder, have we broken the alabaster box of our life and poured out ourselves for the glory of God? Have we really given what we can to God? Are you serving the Lord with the best you got? You know, today, I'll be just honest with you. It's hard to get Christians to come three services a week. Huh? Am I telling the truth or not? They come Sunday morning, they think they already done their best for God. I don't even come back Sunday night. Let me tell you something, when I don't go to church Sunday night, I feel so guilty. I feel like I'm doing an unpardonable sin. I feel terrible. But you know, we've gotten to the point that Christians say, you know, I'm doing my best. I'm going three times a week. Oh, brother, are we doing what we can every single day for our Lord? Oh, does He not deserve all that we got for His glory? A lady in England was walking on the streets and it began to rain. And she stopped at a door and knocked on the door. She was just drenched with water. And the lady opened the door and said, "May I help you?" And the lady, all wet, said, "Ma'am, could you loan me an umbrella?" And the lady said, "Sure." So she said, "Just a moment," turned around and went into her house. And she thought, "You know, I've got a new umbrella and I've got an old umbrella. She probably won't give it back, so I'll just give her my old umbrella." She gave her the old umbrella, and the lady at the door said, "Thank you, ma'am. Tomorrow someone will return this umbrella." The next day came, she heard a knock on the door. When she opened the door, a nice-looking soldier held in his hand an old umbrella. And he said, "Ma'am, the Queen of England asked me to return this umbrella to you and say thank you." He thanked him, closed the door. You know, I wonder what went through her mind. I know what would go through my mind. Goodness gracious. I should ask my husband to take her to the palace. Here, I gave her my worst. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. How many times we do about the same with our Lord. We give Him the worst. We give Him the worst time. We give Him the worst. The pities that we have, the old things that we have, we're willing to give. God wants our best. And this lady, she gave all that she had. Great pride. Gave. She did what she could with what she had. There's a little lady in our church in Brazil. You probably heard my dad give this testimony, but I'll just refresh your mind, okay? She got saved. I mean, gloriously saved. But she had one problem. She didn't know how to read. She was so desirable to preach the gospel. She came to my dad and said, "Pastor, I've got a problem. I want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't know how to read." So my dad got her Bible and marked up the Romans Road. And she'd go out on the streets and knock on the doors. When somebody would come to the door, she'd say, "I'm here to preach the gospel to you. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven?" And the person would say, "I don't know. Can I show you some scriptures in the Bible?" And the person would say, "Yes." She'd open her Bible and say, "Could you read that verse right there?" And the person would read it. And she'd preach the gospel. She'd turn some pages and say, "Could you read that verse for me right there?" And she'd preach the gospel. And that dear lady won many souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't even know how to read. But she did what she could. There's another man in our church. He was named Tail. He was a little mentally retarded. And he would come to church and he got saved. He'd come to church, it'd be pouring raining, and he'd come to church barefooted, no umbrella, get to church soaking wet, and sit in church, dry out, and then leave, go back home. Well, Dad told his sister, said, "I'm going to buy him an umbrella." So Dad bought him an umbrella, gave it to him. He was happy. The next time come church, it was raining. And here come Tail in church, soaking wet.
dry out in church, go home in the rain. My dad went very upset to the lady, his sister, said, "Listen, I gave Tail an umbrella. Why isn't he using it?" And she said, "Oh, Pastor, I told him to use it. But he got upset at me. He said, I'm not going to use what my pastor gave me and let the rain ruin it." So he'd come to church wet. Dad bought him some shoes. He walked barefooted for so many years. Dad said he couldn't take him to a shoe store and said, "What size does he wear?" He did take him. And the man looked at his foot and said, "We can't do it. You're going to have to take him to a shoe man, have them draw his foot and make some shoes for him." Well, Dad took him, made some shoes. Guess what? He'd come to church barefooted when it was raining without an umbrella. They'd say, "Why ain't you using your shoes?" "No, my pastor gave me those. I ain't going to let the rain ruin them." Do you know what? He couldn't speak well. There in Brazil, when you go to a gate in Brazil, there you don't knock on the door, you clap at the gate. And then somebody will come. And usually there's a small porch that goes to the front door. And usually on that wall, there's a Mary or a saint in that wall protecting the house. So he would go house to house. Remember, he couldn't speak well. He'd say, "Lady, somebody come out." He'd say, "You see that, saint? God." And he'd do this. That in Brazil, when a dad looks at a son and does like this, that means when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. You know what he was doing? He's saying, "You see that, saint? God gonna spank you." Well, that's pretty good preaching. Huh? That's pretty good preaching. Hey, some of us that speak correctly, we don't have the courage to do that. Huh? Yeah, he'd go. You'd ask him, "Hey, Tell, do you smoke?" Boy, he'd slap his chest. He'd say, "No, me going to heaven." Well, that's good preaching. Good preaching. "Do you drink, Tell?" "No, me going to heaven." That's good preaching. Folks, here are some people that have done what they could. And this lady, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is being preached, this story will be told. Did what she could. All she could. I'm going to come and get my Bible. Come and get my glasses. Because without my glasses, there's no preaching going on. She did what she could with what she had. Secondly, she did what she could while she could. Remember, Jesus was about to die. She did not wait until his death. Too often we miss out on those special moments of service to Jesus when we ignore the impulses and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Folks, let me ask you something. Do you really think God is not calling people to the mission field or to preach anymore? Do you believe that? No, sirree. I believe we're just missing it. People are missing it. They're saying, "Oh, God, don't talk to Terrell. Talk to him. Oh, God, don't. Are you pointing at him? Yeah, he should go." And we're missing the impulses of the Holy Spirit and disobeying God. God said she did what she could with what she had and while she could. While she could. Heard that verse, John 9:4. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Night cometh and no man." She did what she could with what she had. She did what she could while she could. Thirdly, she did what she could, even with criticism. You know, the more you do for Christ, the more people are going to criticize you. Do you know that? This lady, she didn't care what they were saying. They said, the Bible says they had indignation. They were mad.
He said we could take this 300 pence and offer it to the poor. They criticized her doing what she could. Christ. You know what she felt? I'll tell you what she felt. She felt Jesus was worth her cost. That's what she felt. Are you serving the Lord the best you've got? 1992, last test of the Olympics, Los Angeles. A marathon was going on of about 20 miles. The 1992 Olympics. During this marathon, a lady from Holland, as she was finishing her race, entering the stadium for her last lap, she had a serious problem with dehydration. That day being very hot, her body became deformed. Her body was totally deformed as she was finishing the race. You know what? On the sidelines, people were saying, "Why don't you quit? Someone has already won. People are going home. Why don't you quit?" She'd always say, "I gotta finish. Gotta finish." She finished the race and she dropped into her trainer's hands. They rushed her to the hospital. You want me to be honest with you? I watched this race and I don't have the least idea who won. I don't know who won. I remember that lady. She said, "I want to finish." Oh, I believe when Jesus said, she had done what she could. She did what she could with what she had. She did what she could while she could. She did what she could even with criticism. And here's my last point and I'll be done. This is the first church. It's not a clock in the back. Praise the Lord. I'll be done. She did what she could for only one reason. Look what Jesus said in verse 6. She hath wrought a good work on me. Looked at the men and said, "Hey, you have the poor always, but you don't have me. Hey guys, leave this lady alone. She's doing what she can for one purpose, me. She's doing it for me. Why would she do it for him only?" You see, I believe that her act of love and worship also made a big statement concerning who she believed Jesus was. You see, pay attention. You see, there were four classes of people who were anointed in those days. In 2 Kings 9:3, the kings were anointed those days. In Exodus 29:7, the priests were anointed those days. 1 Kings 19:16, the prophets were anointed those days. And John 19:39, 40, the dead was anointed those days. I believe that by her selfless act, Mary was acknowledging Jesus to be all of these things in her heart. I believe that. Jesus is all those things. Revelations 19:16 says, He is the King of kings. You see, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says that He is the great high priest. In Matthew 13:31, it says He is the prophet. And in Revelations 1:18 says, He was dead, but now He is alive. I believe she believed that in her heart. That's why she anointed Jesus. She did what she could with what she had. She did what she could while she could. She did what she could even with criticism. She did what she could for the right reason. Jesus. How many of you know Brother Bob Ford? Raise your hand. Bearing and precious seed. Brother Bob Ford went down to Brazil several times, honey.
Several times, yes. I remember first time he was doing good. Second time he wasn't. And Miss Ford went with him this time. He gave his testimony of how, before he was saved, how he was a mean man. His children were even scared to get close to him. He was such a mean man. You see, he was young. His dad, he was a puny, skinny guy. And his dad wanted him to be an athlete. And they injected things into him to make him a great athlete. And he became that. When he got married, had a kid, he was a mean man. One day, he was sitting in his living room. And he heard somebody knock on the door. And he went to the door. When he opened the door, a preacher was standing there, and he said, "Sir, I've come to preach the gospel to you." And Bob Ford got the handle of the door and slammed it in his face. Went back to the living room. Thank God for persistent pastors. He knocked on the door again. Miss Ford went to the door this time. When she opened the door, the preacher said, "Ma'am, her husband just slammed the door in my face, but I've come here to preach the gospel." She looked at him and said, "Come on in. My husband's in the living room." He went in the living room. The television was loud. And the preacher went over there and went, "Click." You know, at those times, we didn't have the little click, 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 click. It was click. Remember that? You remember when we had TV that you'd have to do? Remember that? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. He turned around Bob Ford and said, "I've come to preach the gospel to you." Just a little time after that, Bob Ford was on his knees accepting Christ as his personal Savior. One day his little boy saw him with his Bible in his hand. And his little boy, remember, he was a mean man, sat on the other side of the couch as he looked down to his dad with the Bible in his hand. And slowly, that little boy would scoot over and get closer and closer and closer. And when that little boy got real close to his dad, Brother Ford picked him up, put him in his lap, said, "Son, you don't have to worry now. You've got a new dad." Bob Ford said, "Because of this book, you've got a new dad." That little boy got his Bible and put it towards his chest and hugged it and said, "Oh, how I love the Bible." One day, a man by the name of Jimmy Rose was preaching in Augusta at a missions conference at Bob Ford's church. If you know anything about my dad, he is like, slipped my mind. He wants everybody to go to Brazil. I can't remember in Africa, the missionary. Brother Truax, how could I forget him? If he told me 100 times, "Brother Terrell, I think you should have gone to Africa," he'd tell everybody that. If he was alive today and you met him, he'd say, "I think you should go to Africa," wouldn't he? Every time. Pastor Logan preaching this morning mentioned that. Everywhere you meet him. Such a kind gentleman. One day I took him out to eat at Burger King. Me and my wife, remember that? And boy, he bit into that sandwich. And boy, that goop of sandwich just came down. And it went all over his tie. And he looked at me. He said, "That makes me so mad, I could squish a grape." That's the kind of things he'd say. That night, my dad was preaching on missions. And asked if somebody would surrender to go to the mission field. You know, Bob Ford surrendered his life to go to Brazil. God had greater plans for Bob Ford. to not only send Bibles down to Brazil, but all over the world. I don't know if you know this, you probably do, but Brother Bob Ford has had almost 100 surgeries because of what they injected into him when he was young. Sometimes I get an email, and it's Miss Mary saying, Brother Terrell, pray for Bob. I don't think he's going to make it. Then a week later, I get an email from Brother Bob saying I'm headed to Tennessee to preach. A couple weeks go by, another sad letter. Bob's in so much pain, I don't think he's going to make it. A couple of days later, I'm heading to Mississippi to preach. Do you think when Bob Ford gets to heaven, do you really think God's going to say he hath done what he could? Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Now, sometimes we get a little headache and say, ooh, can't go to church today. I want Jesus to say he had done what he could. What he had. While he could. Even with criticism. And he did it for one purpose. Say, Brother Terrell, and I'm not complaining. Has this change been rough on you? Oh, yes. I tried my best to communicate all the churches, and we lost 50% of our support. But you know what? I'm not going to stop. Because my goal is for Jesus to say he hath done what he could. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity that you've given to us. Just a simple text.
Oh my, what an example of someone that Jesus said, she hath done what she could. God, help us tonight. Put in our hearts, I want to do what I can for God. I want to do my very best. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know, sometimes I'm sitting there with my dad. I see a man that preached his heart out all his life. And I wonder, who's going to take his place? We got some older preachers that are heading home. Somebody's going to replace them. Somebody's going to take the torch. And keep running. How many here you could come to this altar and just say, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And I'll do it the best I can. That don't necessarily mean he's calling you to the mission field. No. It just means surrender. You know, this lady, she surrendered all. To him. Other than these that are on the altar, is there anybody else that would come and say, I want to do what I can? Would you come? Would you come? Please come. Please come. As the piano's playing.